Last Sunday, if you hear, we launched a series dubbed as Thrive. And Thrive means it's flourishing, it's growing. And God desires for us to thrive as people. And as a church, He also wants us to thrive. And so this whole series of sermon meant for us to really to understand more what the Bible has to say about what it means to be a thriving church and do all we can to continue on to be more thriving, to be more vibrant, and to be more growing. And so last Sunday, we talked about the first important characteristic, and that is a very basic characteristic of a thriving church that is based from Acts chapter 2. And we, if you all remember, a thriving church based from Acts chapter 2 is a church that is what? Centered in Christ and in Christ alone. It is a church that is practicing spiritual discipline, following the Jesus model of teaching and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. See, the Acts 2 church, as what we had discussed last Sunday, they always come together. They hang out together. They are in fellowship with one another. They build relationships. They come together breaking bread and eating together at homes and in the temple. And they give generously to those who are in need. And as a result of that, day by day, what happened in that verse 47 of Acts 2, you remember that? The Holy Spirit keep on what? Keep on adding up numbers. So they are growing exponentially, growing and being transformed through the work of the Spirit. So this morning we're going to talk the second characteristic of a thriving church. A church where everyone belongs. Say that with me, church. A church where everyone belongs. Let us pray. Oh, dear God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, that we are experiencing this marvelous beauty of your presence with us. Help us now to experience your power through your works, through your Pentecost Spirit. And may you speak with us in a very clear and concise way. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. We all need to belong. The most basic need of our human experience is a sense of what? A sense of belonging. All of us, we all need at least to have someone welcoming us, accepting who we are, loving us, so that we can love others in return. We need someone to care for us, who will check with us, and who will come alongside with us in good times and tough times of life. The sense of belonging is the basic human need. Did you know that the American Medical Association, they said, and I quote, that one of the most severe and debilitating illnesses of our time is the illness that we all know called loneliness. Almost half of the Americans are lonely. Half of them are isolated. And you know, we can be lonely even in the midst of so many bigger crowd. We're not talking here about living out there in the nowhere. A lonely person can be a lonely person in the midst of so many crowds. We're talking here being detached and not being welcome, not having a place to fit in, not able to connect. We can see that in schools, in workplaces, in neighborhoods, city, suburbs, rural, in the country. That's why, according to Morris West in his book, The Devil's Advocate, he said, and I quote, "Loneliness comes to us sooner or later. Friends die. Family dies too. We get old. Can we hear a witness? Can we have a witness? We get sick. In a society where people live in impersonal cities or suburbs, where electronic entertainment often replaces one-to-one conversation, loneliness has become an epidemic. Is it true, church? I see some nodding. But God did not create us to be lonely. That's the good news. God did not intend for us to live in isolation or not to fit in to any community. In fact, He created, or we are created and designed to belong. That is why God has provided a solution for the pain of the humankind by creating a church to be a place to belong. A place of hospitality. A place where, regardless of who you are, where you came from, or what your accent is, or whether you're from around here or not, it is a place that you can find yourself, that you are part of. They may not know your name, they might not know your address, but they know your condition, they know your situation, they know your needs, and that you are being treated and accepted as member of a family. Sadly, churches are not doing a great job of offering a place to belong. We see it in nearly every church sign, every church mailing, on the inside fold of every bulletin. All are welcome. But sadly, too often, all are not welcome after all. I'm speaking about churches, whether they are in rural or in suburb or in city. Regardless of their denomination, whether they are mainline or mainstream or non-denominational, there are churches that have been exclusive rather than inclusive in the practice of their life together. History tells us the sad realities that these churches in general have excluded those who don't look like us, don't think like us, don't behave like us. Have you experienced going to that kind of church before, church? And felt that you did not belong or you're not welcome? Well, Judy and I have shared a bit of that story way back more than 20 years ago when we went to a non-denominational church somewhere in Hillsboro. How many of you have been to Hillsboro? I'm sure you've been there. So we tried one Sunday to skip the service to take a week off and said, we're going to try to go to this growing church. We saw a lot of different cars out there. And lo and behold, we found ourselves a place to sit. And for 2 hours service, not any single person approached us. As if we are invisible. And we left that church feeling so sad. A thriving church is a church where everyone belongs. A church that is thriving is where they can feel a sense that they are part of this family called church. This is what Jesus wants to tell to his disciples in the context of this Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. It is the second major section of Jesus' teaching after the Sermon on the Mount. Where before that, in chapter 8 and 9, Jesus here is narrating all the things that he's been doing to his disciples. If you remember, Jesus was already teaching and healing and casting out demons and raising the dead. And at the end of chapter 9 in Matthew, Jesus looks at the crowd and had compassion on them because they were helpless and they were harassed, like sheep without shepherd. And he tells the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord for the harvest to send out laborers into his vineyard. So Jesus evidently intends his disciples to be the answer to their own prayer. For at the beginning of chapter 10 in the Matthew's gospel, he is sending them out, giving them the authority over unclean spirit and casting them out to cure every disease and every sickness. And so here we are now coming in. Jesus continued to instruct the 12 to go out to the lost sheep and to proclaim the good news, and the kingdom of the heaven is coming near, to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out the demons. And that's what he's saying here on chapter 10. What Jesus is trying to say to his disciple, you got to imitate what I'm doing. You have to be the extension of my ministry. You have to proclaim the same good news and performing the same work of healing that Jesus is doing. And so we come here now in Matthew chapter 10, beginning on the 40th verse. Perhaps this is the three shortest verses in the lectionary. And yet, how many times you've seen the word welcome there? 6 times. Jesus here speaking to the 12 disciples as he sent out to the mission, and he's telling them, if you really want to be my followers, you have to embody the radical hospitality that I am doing. In a way, what he's saying, that anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So let's kind of pause that for a while and reflect on that. If we are truly imitating Christ into the world, can we be more welcoming? Can we be more, have a sense of belonging and welcoming everyone? You know, in the ancient world, identity was tied to family and communities. It was understood that in showing hospitality, one is welcome not just as individual, but the community who sent the person and all that they represent. In other words, when you welcome someone, you also welcome the entire family and the entire clan during Jesus' time. Therefore, welcoming a disciple of Jesus would mean receiving the very presence of Jesus himself and of the one who sent him, who is God the Father. So that's a very serious imitation there, or invitation for us to embody what Jesus had done and what Jesus is doing. That is why Jesus' call for hospitality has no boundary nor limit, where he extended this invitation to all the misfits, to all those who at the time of Jesus were called the undesirable, those that are outcasts, those that are not inside the circle. He constantly reminded his disciples, no one should remain excluded and unwelcome. Taken literally, this is Jesus at his most challenging and difficult moment. That's why whenever he used the word welcome here, it came from a Greek word which means philoxenia, which means the love of the stranger. A love for the stranger. And the opposite of the word philoxenia is xenophobia. Have you heard that word, xenophobia? Which means the fear of the stranger. It is the opposite. In other words, hospitality in the Jesus way is simply a practical way in which we are called to work out Jesus' command to love our neighbors, whether friend or our strangers. I'm so grateful to God to be a part of a church that embodying already what it means to practice radical hospitality. This morning at the early service at the Awakening, someone testified how she was welcomed here, she and her family. And not only that, she's not only been welcome on the first Sunday, but the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. That means this church have been doing and already embodying having a church to be a place to belong, And that's something for us to give thanks. See, Jesus made it clear that all people should be invited in the kingdom. Jesus welcomes all, inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, or the blind. Jesus says, if you remember, there is a room at the table. Say that with me, church. There is a room at the table. There's a room for a stranger. There is a room for a smoker. There's a room for a recovering alcoholic. There's a room for a former felon. A room for a divorcee. For Hispanic, for Asian, Native American, African American. Everyone in between, there's a room at the table. There's a place at the table for an unemployed, a couple living together, a family on public assistance. Jesus invites everyone and provides them a sense of belonging. There's a place for mentally handicapped person. There's a place for interracial couples, an unwed teenage mother, a very quiet and meek person, families with crying babies. Don't we like that? Agnostics, New Agers, people with tattoos, and with even, and I said this at the early service, with even pierce on their nose. Everyone. When God says all means all of us have a place to belong. All of us need to belong, and the church should be a place to belong. The challenge for us this morning, do we provide a place to belong? Are we contributing? Are we continually making Plank Chapel to be a church where everyone feels that they belong? Listen again to what Jesus says. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your radical hospitality. We will not be here for you, not for your welcoming us into the family of God. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for welcoming us. And we know that you value and care for all people. Help us, O God, to be welcoming to others. Help us to embody a church where truly everyone belongs. And to demonstrate your love to those in our lives. Thank you, God, for your love. And may we continue on to be a thriving church where everyone belongs. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.